drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN Chicago. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, talking all things in the world of golf with you every single Saturday. It's all brought to you by our friends over at Glenview Park Golf Club. And Mike, you are on the road today, my friend. You are out at PXG, their Oakbrook Terrace location. And you were sending me some pictures yesterday of the spot.
Boy,
It is a candy store in there. It is a one-of-one facility that you're working from today, my friend.
I am. There are candy stores in this industry, and then there are the boutique with the highest-end ingredients, and this place is a candy store on steroids, is the best way to put it. Pretty impressive. This is the new Chicago West location out here in Oakbrook, just off the Eisenhower Expressway, not too far down Roosevelt here, just about 2 miles from the mall next to Pete's. And this place is got it all. I mean, a putting green, three bays to be fit in that are like I've never seen before. They're movie theater style size, like screens. They even have a putting lab where you go in, and that's where all the putting fittings are done. And it is so scientific here. It's unbelievable. But it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And they were telling me, Luke, who we're going to speak with later, was telling me that the Chicago North location up in Northbrook, the first store for PXG outside of their headquarters in Arizona, was here in Chicago. And you could fit 2.5 of those stores in this store. So they kind of learn the model and what the customers really need and have built out a Taj Mahal here in Oakbrook Terrace. And if you have any reason to be shopping for clubs, equipment of any sort, any kind, come on out here. I mean, this place is unbelievable. You have to see it to believe it.
Yep. It is. It's one of those things where especially nowadays, with whether it's places like that, and we talk all the time about PGA Tour Superstore, like you walk into some of those things and it is a golf shop reimagined. And the way that they put together some of these facilities, it really is spectacular. The way that you're able to roll it out, customer friendly, and it's just different from what you're used to when you're going to the local sporting goods store. It's completely different now. They have completely changed the game at this point.
They really have. And what's really cool, when you walk in here, it's almost as if you walked into a true clubhouse. It gives you that feel that you walked into a club, like a high-end country club. It's almost 9,000 square feet, as I said, three roomy fitting bays, the dedicated 430-square-foot putting fitting studio. They have 185 square feet of just putting practice. And I was here yesterday, Tyler, waiting for Luke to get done with a fitting and to chat with him. So they had me go into the studio and ask me if I wanted to hit balls. And I was like, well, sure, if you don't mind. And they're like, well, what do you play? And I said, well, you know, they're KBS, 120 gram, if you really want to get particular. Got it right here.
Wow.
He puts it all together. Action Jackson. I was hitting balls for a half an hour. But what I noticed is that the people that come in here, the customers, they're almost more like clients and members. They come over here to practice. They come over here. This is like a second home away from their golf home. So this has really got a different vibe than what I would say a PGA Superstore or a Golf Galaxy or a Dick's. This is on a whole nother scale. I mean, it's like going to Vegas and getting a special table and the bottle service in a room with a view.
That's fantastic. It is really cool the way that they've completely overhauled a lot of these different golf facilities right now. And the thing too, I mean, I'm surprised you were hitting balls inside yesterday. It was beautiful out.
I know. I know. But here was the thing. And my thought was to come here, you know, meet with Luke, and then go hit balls outside. But when they invited me to come into this studio that was perfectly temperature, and I could, it was being in a candy store. Then I got to hit the little new, they call it the shorty wood or the two wood. Mm-hmm. And you can hit a driver right off the deck. It's 13 degrees, or you can put it on a tee, and it's only 42 or 43 inches, which is what drivers used to be. But, it was fun. I mean, we were trying anything and everything under the sun. So that was the reason I stayed indoors, honestly.
Yeah. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Lots to get to. We are 1 week closer to the Masters as well. We'll get into all of that stuff and more. And if you were out and about yesterday, we'd love to hear where you played, how you did, as the temperatures were fantastic yesterday across the Chicagoland area. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. I did get a text from Waddle yesterday. He was out playing. His brother's in town. He said he shot 78, and the most impressive thing about his round, one ball. That's all he used.
Oh, that is impressive. Especially this early in the season, to go around 18 holes and still have the same golf ball. But I've played with Waddle, and it doesn't surprise me. When he gets it on a roll, you know, he's Mr. Automatic with that little butter cut that he hits off the tee, and he's a good little player. Good athlete, obviously.
Let's get into some of the things that have taken place throughout the week, because there's been a number of different things. I will say I did watch the championship of the TGL. So that is now officially in the books. Atlanta comes out on top, and Billy Horschel hits that little snaking putt downhill there to capture. What a week for him, by the way. I mean, between then the shot that he had at the Valspar, where he flipped his club head upside down and shot lefty because of there was a tree in the way of a potential righty shot there. I mean, one of the best shots we'll see all year, no doubt about it.
Oh, 100%. In fact, I watched it happen live when I was watching the telecast. And honestly, I even said to my wife, I go, check this out. This guy's righty, but he's going to try to hit this lefty. This could go anywhere. It could hit off the tree and hit himself. And then he's really got problems with the rules and penalties. He hits it stiff. His golf swing left-handed is better than most people's righty.
Yeah.
It was well done. And it might be one of the top shots of the entire year. By far, it was the best shot of the tournament.
Yeah. And then he caps it off. Yeah, to get the birdie there. It was no easy putt either, but he sank it. And just to even put yourself in a position to have that birdie opportunity there was uber, uber impressive. But yeah, so Atlanta captures the championship in the TGL. For those unfamiliar with the TGL, it is the indoor golf simulator league that tour players play in, and like high profile players are playing in this thing too. A lot of the top players do it, and it was year one of it. It's a league that's powered by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. But we are now 1 year into the TGL. What was your overall impression of just the thing as a whole for this year?
It was interesting, and I'm glad that they went through with it. It's a little, I don't know, it's not true golf as we all know it, and we just have to understand that going in. But it is entertaining, I will say that. But, you know, would I want a steady diet of it? No. What I would like to see actually done is that they condense the season a little bit more so that you keep things more relevant. And, I mean, they have these long breaks between matches, and then they'll go two matches one night, one the next night, and then take 2 weeks off. And so, and I know it's because of the logistics of, you know, all the individuals and the seasons. And I thought it was interesting how towards the end of the year, a bunch of the teams had to make, you know, transactions and pick guys off of the waiver wires to fulfill their team at the end. So, you know, the credibility of actually the the whole team thing became a little bit of a question in my mind when you're starting to use other players that really weren't on the team to start the season. But the thing that blew me away the most, and I think where they swung and missed the most, was on the merchandising. And not one player throughout the entire season wore one of their logos. They didn't have it on the hat. They didn't have it on the shirt. And I would have thought that that would have been something that they would have had these guys do, wear something, whether it's on their traditional shirt and have that embroidered or something, because I think that would have also aided in some of their merchandise sales. I've seen some of the stuff in PGA Superstores and in some of the other retailers, but I just thought it was funny that they're playing a team game. They're wearing the same color shirt, but they're not wearing the same uniform or logo like a traditional team would with their uniforms. But I thought it was fairly successful. It'll be interesting if the players want to stay doing it with the biggest names. My fear is some of those big names pull out because, you know what, it's just a drain, and they find out later in the year that all that traveling caught up with them in the summer, and they decide not to play next year. I think that thing crashes big time.
Yeah, I know a lot of it was built on, all right, Rory's presence, Tiger's presence. What's Tiger Woods? What does that look like for next year? Is he going to, again, his time is very limited, and is he going to spend some of it in this TGL simulator league? I get that it's his product, but I have a hard time believing that is the best use of his time when you know that the amount of golf that you've got left is very limited. I have a hard time thinking. I think he still is the figurehead of the thing, but I can't imagine he's really participating in this next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially given his health and where that all ends up. But he may have to just stay away because it's the best thing in terms of his rehabilitation. I know when Rory's team and Tiger's team missed the playoffs, there had to be some air let out of the balloon there because, you know, you're talking about teams that started off like 0-2 and then they're making it to the championship. So, I don't know. It was just a very strange experiment. And, you know, there were a lot of things that I liked about it, some things I didn't particularly care for. I think some of the holes that are contrived and made up kind of make it a little weird in that sense. I think if we had golf holes that we're familiar with, or that there is every single golf hole or a collection of them, that each team can then say, okay, I'm pulling, you know, the third hole at Colonial, or I'm going to do the 17th hole at Augusta, or I'm going to do... And then that way everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know that hole. Oh, I remember when they play that hole. And now we can see, do they play it as well virtually as they do in the real deal? And then also to see if they would ever consider putting elements into the virtual game. And by that I mean making it windy, you know, making the conditions really hard. And I know when you go to an ex-golf, they can do all that. So I noticed that we played calm, ball in hand. So we gave these guys every opportunity to hit excellent shots, to which they did quite often. And we saw our fair share of misses as well. But I just think it's a thing that's slowly growing on me, I guess. But I'm not entirely sold on it. But will I watch it again? Yes, out of curiosity next year, just to see where it stands versus last year. But am I a big fan of it? Not really.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me is I get you have to have the certain constraints in place because this ultimately is a made-for-television event. But for a tour that has constantly criticized LIV Golf for playing 54 holes, how are you playing 15? And I get that you have to fit it inside the time constraint of around 2 hours. Especially when you're going head-to-head with basketball throughout the bulk of what they did during the week, on whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the week. But that's always just struck me as odd, and maybe that's part of why they don't have some of those courses. But I'm with you. Like, I think having these custom holes that people can't actually play, it feels gimmicky. And if you want to bring legitimacy to it, I do think you need to load up some of the courses that people are familiar with, like you were saying.
Yeah, no doubt. And I do think, like what you said, is so true. It is gimmicky, and it gives that feeling of video game that it truly isn't real. I'm still amazed that people gamble on it, but again, they'll gamble on just about anything these days. Just because I think that it would be interesting if we had the best technology that is out there, and everybody knows it's like the white elephant in the room, that there's better technology out there, but we got to use Tiger's company. And it's just, it's sort of interesting when you can tell people want to say, there is no flipping way I hit that ball like that, but they have to mind their P's and Q's when they're on TV like this.
100%. All right, when we come back, we will go through what we saw last week at the Valspar, including a return to glory for one player who had been struggling a lot. We talked a little bit about him last week, but we'll discuss what Victor Hovland has accomplished and what it could mean for him moving forward. All that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is Tyler. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
By Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, who's out at PXG in Oak Brook Terrace. We'll have Luke Lovechick on at 10 o'clock. He's the fitting team leader out at PXG. But let's get into what we saw on the tour last week at the Valspar, where Victor Hovland walks away victorious. And this is something that, Mike, both you and I are keeping our eye closely on, because you look at what happened with Victor Hovland last season, coming out of the BMW Championship where he was spectacular and the FedEx Cup, and we just didn't get that Victor in 2024. Far from it. He had a couple pop-ups where he was looking really good, but some miscuts that really hurt him. And I think both you and I, we weren't exactly sure what to expect out of Victor Hovland, almost became a little bit of an afterthought, especially with the toe injury that he was coming back from. I feel like he was off of a lot of people's radars, but all of a sudden now he's victorious at the Valspar, and now I think the radar is back on with him, and as we get closer and closer to teeing things up at the Masters.
You know, I would love to say he's back, but is he, though? You know, that's the thing. And the first rounds of his last couple of tournaments have been 77 at Bay Hill and 80 at the TPC. So maybe he's figured this thing out. But what I found most interesting is he was so honest about his ability and whether or not he feels he has it or not. And I think there's still some doubt in his own mind. Do I really own this? Did it just come and visit me for a little bit? And then next week, who knows what will happen? But it is without question the step we all wanted to see in the right direction for Victor to get this thing turned around. Because I will say, watching him come down the stretch, JT put on an exhibition like no other until what I saw Victor do at 16 and 17. Those irons he hit in the snake pit, and having played there, I understand how hard that hole is. It's one of the hardest par fours on the tour. And he was cutting in irons, and it looked like Olympia Fields, BMW Championship all over again. And for the first time, I saw the old Victor Hovland back. Now, has he caught it in a bottle and can bring it to him with Augusta? Who knows? But if he keeps doing what he was doing, he is going to be in the hunt at Augusta. But if he has that self-doubt that creeps into his mind and he doesn't think he really has this thing solved in the long term, we could see another another typical Victor performance in 2025. Because what's ironic about this, is the first cut he made.
Yeah.
He made the two cuts at Pebble and at Kapalua, but there were no cut events. All the cut events he's played in, he's missed the cut, except this one, and he goes out and wins it.
Yeah, go figure, right? And you speaking
exactly.
Speaking of missed cuts too, like he missed the cut last year at the Masters, which I think both you and I pegged him as this is a guy who could win the whole thing. And then when we were coming out of August and September last year, thinking that is our pick for this year at Augusta, and he could not have disappointed any more. One of the most disappointing players we saw at that tournament. Now he's got a chance to flip the script and build a little bit of something here. We know it's in him. We know he's got talent. He's been a highly heralded player at every step along the way, from junior to college and on the tour, obviously. So I'm very intrigued with which Victor Hovland is going to show up now when we get to Augusta, because you can go every which way, but you look at kind of how the field now will expand as we get to the Masters. Like, obviously, Scotty is forever going to be a part of the conversation. And then you bring in the guys from LIV. What does Brooks have? What does Bryson have off of a major win from a season ago? And a guy who played well at the Masters. What does John Rahm? He's a former Masters champion. Like, what do these guys have now when you are recongregating everyone together?
Exactly. And to put Victor into this group to see where he eventually stacks up is going to be, you know, thrilling television for that matter. But, you know, again, with Victor, is he back? And if he is, it'll be amazing to watch him, you know, because like you said, he was the big disappointment last year. We all thought he was going to rule the world, and quite honestly, he went the other direction. But in listening to some of the insiders and people within his camp, it sounds like after he had all that success that there was so much thrown at him, and he was deciding to change coaches, look to change his swing a little bit. All of a sudden, he was starting to make all these changes when, in fact, why do you want to screw with it? And so I think what he has done is he's resimplified his life again in terms of the noise, the chaos, and dealing with all of this sudden newfound success at the professional level. And I think he's matured a bit. And I think this little period of time where he struggled, we could look back at it, and it might be the best thing that ever happened to him, so that he now knows how to get himself out of these funks when it happens. But I think it's also a good indicator early on in his career, you've got to stay true to yourself. You've got to stay on point with how you got here. Just because you're here now doesn't mean you're going to stay here. And I think that's the mark of a true champion like a Scottie Scheffler, who can go out and get it done time after time after time, and it's almost like he just expects it, where Victor, his mindset isn't like that right now. And in fact, after he even won this, he's still not sure what Victor's going to show up the next time he steps on the golf course.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you talk about all the changes that he was making to his game, and he was a guy who was fresh off of a tour championship in 2023, and all of a sudden, you got a completely different player in 2024. But I will say, if you look at how he kind of closed out the season last year, he was tied for second at the St. Jude. He was 26th at the BMW. And then he finished 12th for the year on the Tour Championship. But if you look at the rounds, especially what he was doing on Saturday and Sunday, he went 65-66. Those were his last two rounds that he played on the tour last season. So he was starting to, I feel like, get into form after some miscuts, finishing outside the top 50 at some events, outside the top 40. Like, he did start to turn it on at the end of the year, and maybe he can start to get back to that form. And this could be the start of, all right, 2023 Victor is back here in 2025. And that would certainly put him into the thick of things for the Masters and for the PGAs, and just for him to get his groove back, because he is one of those guys who is one of the exciting young players and marketable players that's on the tour. And if you can get him kind of going and in a groove, and we can start talking about him, because I always think about these up-and-coming guys and these breakthrough players. The thing with Victor is he doesn't have anything besides that tour championship where it's like that's his breakthrough moment. When you think about guys who have done it in the past and really haven't gotten back to that form, it's guys like Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, but like they have majors in the bank that you can go back to, and that was kind of their breakthrough moments. Victor isn't quite there yet. Now, he's still young. He's 27 years old, but at some point, he is going to have that breakthrough major. It's just a matter of, is it going to come this season or not?
Yeah, and if it doesn't happen this season, you know, he's only 27 years young. He'll be 28 in September. So, you know, the thing that I think that he has going for him is the players that he's going up against do not intimidate him. You know, when he won at the BMW, you know, he had Matt Fitzpatrick and a fellow by the name of Scotty Scheffler on his rear end, and he stared them down and beat him. And then he turns around the next week and does the same thing by five shots over Xander. And then this past week, he wins by a shot over Justin Thomas. So the players that are chasing him or trying to beat him and that he's, you know, dealing with are not, you know, you're just average Joes out there. So I think that bodes well for a guy like Victor, that when he does find himself in the hunt finally for a major championship and has a chance to seal the deal, my bet is that he'll do it because he's been there and he knows he can. And that, I think, is a big part of trying to win your first major. So, you know, winning the tour championship in the BMW, yeah, it's not a major, but it's a major win, but it's not a major. But I think it's going to play a major way in how he will achieve his very first major.
Yep, I totally agree with you. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, and keep that number handy because we've got some awesome things to give away today. We'll talk a little bit about this when we come back, but the Upper Deck event at Wrigley Field, we'll tell you what that is and how you can win a VIP twosome. So we'll do that when we come back. Also, we'll give away another taste of the Masters a little bit later on in the show. So keep that phone number handy, 312-332-3776. Don't call quite yet, but we'll discuss the Upper Deck event that's coming to Wrigley Field when we return.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky, talking all things golf with you. All right, Mike, there is the Upper Deck event that's coming to Wrigley Field on Friday and Saturday, April 11th and 12th. And it is a super cool event. They basically set up hitting bays at Wrigley Field. And you're hitting golf balls there for the entire day. It's a lot of fun, and we've got a couple of VIP packages to give away here. So we've got a VIP twosome that we'll give away right now. 312-332-3776. Be caller number 10, and you'll win a VIP twosome to the Upper Deck event at Wrigley Field. We'll give another one away later on in the show. But Mike, why don't you?
And you know what they get?
What else do you get with that?
You know what a VIP they get? Listen to this. They get everything's included in like what is the standard, except they get extra golf balls. So you actually get to take mulligans. And I know from people that go to this thing, you are so in awe of Wrigley Field. The first one you hit is always cruddy. So you definitely want to have mulligans, but you get the free entry to the driving challenge, free entry to the putting challenge, free entry to the closest to the pin challenge, and then complimentary meal and beverage items, and that includes beer, wine, or a well drink for anyone that's over 21. So these VIP spots will sell out immediately because there's really no waiting when you come up when you have a VIP. It's when you arrive, then, oh, okay, you step right up. So these are the premium that PXG's been kind enough to give a couple of us the or a couple of tee times for us to give away. And yeah, and not only that, Luke Lovechick just came by and said, you know, Mike, Tuesday we're starting a sale here for CDGA members, 20% off a 14 bag, like a full Onslaught fitting. You get 20% off of the entire package, and if you do more clubs, the discount will actually just increase, and it could go up to towards 30%. So they're saying, if you're a CDGA member and you come in and you mention ESPN or you heard about it, the deal early, they'll honor it today.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Thank you to Luke and all
the people up at PXG. You're looking for some new weapons.
Yeah. So
we just had friend of the show Joe stop by. He said, I had to stop by. I was right in your neighborhood. He just stopped in.
Love
a long lost friend from Arizona visiting, and then he just stopped in to say hello when he just left.
Fantastic.
So he had to pick up a couple of ESPN dual logoed hats.
Perfect. Perfect. So yeah, for those who don't know, Mike is out at PXG in Oak Brook. So if you're in the area, stop on by. And yeah, so this Wrigley Field event too. It is cool. It like just the aerial views that I've seen of it, the videos that I've seen of it. And I know our producer, Jack McGrath, he actually attended it last year, had himself a good time out there at Wrigley.
It was a ton of fun. The views were tremendous. You saw every single part of the park. You start basically, I believe, down the first baseline. At least that's what it was last year. And you hit it into the outfield, and then you move around to the bleachers, and you're teeing off from basically right under the scoreboard, which was pretty tremendous. And then you move all the way back around to home plate, and it feels like you're hitting a ball from home plate into the outfield. It was a ton of fun and a really great experience. Great views. I saw parts of Wrigley Field that I'd never seen before, and I was playing golf while doing it, so it was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, Jack, did you find that any of the distance and judging distance was made much more difficult because you're either way up on a second deck and trying to hit down and the elevation drop, but things sometimes look to be so big, but yet you're really quite close.
Yeah.
Did you find the depth perception of much of a challenge?
It was definitely different, but the thing about it was you weren't really as focused on your golf play as much as it was about the experience and the beautiful view you were getting. Like, I was obviously trying to hit the targets, but more I was just trying to put a good swing on the ball, get a good flight on it, and see what I could do and just kind of experience the whole thing of hitting the ball onto the field.
Wow. Did they use real golf balls?
Yeah, it was real golf balls. And I was telling Tyler, one of the funniest parts about it was I don't know if they couldn't have a cart on the field to pick up the golf balls like you did at the driving range, but I have a picture of it right here. They literally, to pick up the golf balls that you were hitting onto the field, they had just a guy in full hockey pads and a motorcycle helmet running around with a little basket to pick up all the golf balls and putting them back away to, I'm sure, hand them out to the next people up. But no, it was real golf balls. They didn't give you a club that was big enough. I think the highest I ever got was an 8-iron because they didn't want you trying to crush it out into the bleachers because it's only, what, from home plate to the outfield 130-something yards. So they didn't want you to try to crush it to the bleachers. Now, I won't say that I didn't try to hit a home run once we got behind home plate, but you weren't necessarily supposed to do that. I got a look from one of the security guards because of that. But, no, they don't give you any super big clubs, but it is real golf balls.
I do not envy that range picker.
Wow, that range picker, I don't know what he did. He must have drew the short straw. I've never heard of that. That is hilarious. They do make, you know, light golf carts with balloon tires to pick those up in a more safer fashion. But that might be some of the entertainment. You try to hit the guy in the motorcycle.
congratulations to Jim in Aurora. So he will be going VIP style to the upper deck Wrigley Field event that basically you get to hit some golf balls at Wrigley Field. So we'll give away another package a little bit later on the show, but he's walking away with a VIP twosome. Yeah, it's always cool. Like, and the intersection of baseball and golf, like you hear all the stories in spring training usually about all these pitchers specifically, how they love the off days during spring training because it just means I'm golfing in Arizona or I'm golfing in Florida. And for them, it's kind of like their little getaway. And I mean, these guys, they'll leave the game They'll pitch their two innings or so, and then before you know it, they'll be on a golf course nearby before they call it a night.
Absolutely. Baseball and pitchers have been synonymous with being good golfers. In fact, I think the three major aces of the Atlanta Braves, I don't think any of them had a handicap higher than like five between Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pitchers, when they get their little complete game, they get all that rest. So that's a lot of time to play golf. But baseball players and golfers, you know, the Mike Trouts of the world, they can drive golf balls in distances that are just mind-boggling, because basically the baseball swing and the golf swing are very, very, very identical. It's just the plane is different. The plane is much flatter to hit the baseball versus down where the golf ball is sitting there down below. But the sequence down with your feet, your legs, your core, you know, your arms and hands all in sequence are all the same, just like in baseball. So it's funny how baseball and golf do cross-pollinate. And, you know, having this upper deck event at Wrigley, when Joe Cardona, who a friend of the show, stopped in, he reminded me, he lives in Arizona, he said he did this at Chase Field in Arizona.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. And he said it's got to be even better going to Wrigley Field because, you know, Wrigley Field is Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it. I think they do it at Fenway also. And you can hit balls, I think, off the top of the monster,
which
that's incredible. But the other thing too is, American Family Field up in Milwaukee, they've got, it's an X golf in it, right?
That's right.
You can just hit
eight
simulators
base
and watch a game.
That's right. In fact, one of the simulators, literally you hit, and after you hit the ball, if you look to your right, you're looking right down at the left fielder.
That's
wild.
Incredible.
And they do a great job. And you don't even have to bring your golf clubs. And they have beautiful Callaway equipment, the best in the business. All you got to do is bring a golf glove if you wear one.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring anything else.
That's awesome. By the way, you brought up Mike Trout and like the way that some of these guys drive. Have you seen the video of him at Topgolf before, where he just crushes a drive that dies into the night sky?
Oh yeah, he hits them out of those parks.
Yeah,
I mean, those Top Golfs can't contain Mike Trout.
Right.
I mean, the local Top Golf must see him coming and go, oh no. But yeah,
get the guy in the hockey pads.
He's got forearms. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he's got forearms as big as anything, and those wrists and hands are so strong, and the club head speed that he can generate is, you know, for them, swinging those baseball bats, and then they put the golf club in their hand, and it feels like a whip. I mean,
right.
It's amazing the core strength and the arm strength that these guys have, and then obviously with the sequencing of it all, they can just do things that us normal humans can't even imagine.
Yeah, 100%. All right, when we come back, let's take a look at what's going on the tour. The Houston Open taking place this weekend. A fitting name atop the leaderboard, Mr. Texas himself. We'll discuss all that and more when we come back. Mm-hmm. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge, as we take a look at what's taking place at the Texas Children's Houston Open. Scottie Scheffler on top of the leaderboard. No surprise there. He is 11 under and went 62 yesterday, tying his own mark as he continues to just be a machine through the tour. So he is a one-stroke lead over the rest of the pack. Taylor Pendrith, Minwoo Lee, Ryan Gerard all on his tail at 10 under. But once Scotty starts getting a little bit of momentum, it's really tough to surpass him once he's got this thing going. And he's going to be heading into moving day now with a 62 in his back pocket.
He is looking really, really good yesterday. And, you know, when he left the last event, his putting was a little suspect, and you could tell the frustration. But I will tell you this. I think the two putts that he made in a row that were outside of 25 feet on Thursday is what helped set up his mind going into Friday. And I think he had one of those days where once he made one or two, then all of a sudden he gets that feeling. And he had it going yesterday, and that spells curtains for the players. Yeah. And some of the players have actually said this is going to be a tall order when we're chasing this guy, because he's becoming now the new modern-day version of Tiger in the way that he's dominating. But a 62, he was putting for 61. I mean, and he could have easily been on a 59 watch earlier in the day, had a couple of other bounces gone his way. But all in all, Scotty's hand injury, the surgery, he's looking solid before heading to Augusta. But, you know, as much as I'm watching Scotty, I'm keeping an eye on Rory. And I get the feeling that Rory does not want to necessarily peak right now. So it was amazing to watch him make those birdies coming in to, you know, fit inside what will probably be the cut. He'll make that very easily. It looked like it's going to be about two under mm-hmm. once they finish this morning. So you just wonder, is Scotty peaking a little early, or is just, you know, is this just all part of the plan?
Yeah, I think when you think back to his year last year, and even 2 years prior to that too, like, he just enters this machine mode, and once he gets in, it really doesn't matter. Like, the peaking stuff, I feel like with him, he's kind of the outlier in terms of that. Like, the way that he just, the winning, it just snowballs. It continues to go downhill, and he just gets all this momentum, and it's like there's no looking back from it. Like, for context here, you bring up the Tiger stuff. His odds to win this tournament, this is crazy to me. He's got a one-stroke lead, obviously not insurmountable, but the person who has it may be what's insurmountable. One-stroke lead heading into Saturday, and he has minus odds to win the tournament. Like, that's the level of player we're working with right here with Scottie Scheffler.
It really is. And it's, yeah, I mean, I'm just utterly amazed at the fact that those are the odds. I mean, it's almost like, guys, you're all playing for second place. I know you're only a shot out, but you don't understand. It's Scottie Scheffler. If it was Trey Mullinex or Nico Echeverria or Alejandro Tosti, it's all game on. Everyone would probably be around, like, you know, plus 5,000.
Yeah.
But no, it's Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, I think Keith Mitchell, if you play his interview from yesterday, he acknowledges the fact that, you know, I'm in this thing, but I really don't have much of a chance when it's Scottie Scheffler that we're going after. And, I mean, he basically said that. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, geez, you've sort of thrown in the towel. I guess we're going to watch everyone play for second.
Yeah.
But, no, it's not a good feeling for a lot of the tour players, knowing that this guy's getting warmed up and he's starting to find that form that he has. You know, and assuming he wins this week, Tyler, let's just assume he does win.
Okay.
How many events do you think he'll win this year?
What, do you have seven last year?
Yeah, if I put it 3.5 is the Vegas odds, over or under?
I would go, if he wins this one, I'll go over, because I think he wins a major this year, and then can he find two more? I think he can.
Yep.
Especially with some of these.
I do too.
Especially with some of these elevated events too, the way that goes now, it feels like these guys really elevate their own game when they see the purse money that's being doled out.
Exactly. And, you know, you figure you got four majors and you got eight of those. Somehow he's going to win at least a couple of those, and then maybe have a couple of just regular events.
Yeah.
But for him, that'll seem like a disappointing year versus last year. I think
right.
anything that you're going to do versus last year is going to be for others, that's going to be a career year. But yeah. for him, it's just going to be, eh. It's just going to be, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
Took a step back.
There's Trey Mullinix would take that in a heartbeat.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, he'd take one for the year.
Yes.
So
100%.
When we come back, we'll talk with Luke Lovechick.